All right, well, welcome back to the Faction Championship Player Profiles. Faction Championship takes place at the end of January. It's one of our team's two major events each year. So in the lead up, we're having a chat to the players who will be playing in it. This time round, I'm Ian, and I'm here with Leo.
How you doing?
Good to have you on. I don't think you've been on a podcast yet, have you?
No, I've I think I like lurked when you were recording one once, but no one knew I was there.
Yes. We've had that a couple times. I think you were in one. I think Nate sat through one and got a bit of a sneak preview.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, a sneak preview with all of the ums and, you know, it's more awkward before I edit it together to make it sound smarter.
Yeah, and all of the raging swearing and everything that gets edited out for the kids.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I don't think I normally edit out the swearing, actually. I don't remember if we're listed as explicit on iTunes or not, but we should be.
Yeah, you might be okay. I reckon you're probably not going to draw too much attention, I think.
No, we're not quite big enough yet. Not yet. But it's out there for when we blow up so people can go back and cancel us.
Yeah, that's right. That's the aim, right? If you're not getting cancelled in 2022, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. That's my New Year's resolution. But anyway, we're here to chat about you. So a little bit about your background and your story with the faction. So when did you join the faction? Roughly.
Okay, so I took a hiatus from Magic until, I think I started playing Magic again back in 2016, and I went into Next Level Games in Preston, and I met Pete and Gary, and eventually Hoodie, and I started playing with them for a few years, just like at, I think maybe 2017 might have been when I actually formally joined the faction. So, but I've been playing with those guys for a while, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. So you took a hiatus, so you played Magic earlier then?
Yeah, I started back in 7th Ed.
Wow.
Like, yeah, ages ago. I remember I got the, my first Magic product was that, I don't know if anyone remembers the, the starter deck for each color, and there was like the Goblins deck and the Angels deck and the Wizards deck for, you know, it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well before my time, so I can't say I'm super familiar with them.
Yeah, but that was, you know, what would that have been, like year 2000 or something like that, maybe, yeah, about that. So a while ago, and I took a hiatus for a while and then got back into it 2015, 2016, something like that. And then I just kept playing because I met some people I really enjoyed playing with, and here we are, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, I think a big draw to Magic is the people.
Absolutely. And you know, I think one of the things that I enjoyed about the faction was that there was this sort of like quietly competitive nature of a lot of the people in it that sort of pushes everybody upwards. And there was definitely a period for me back in 2017, maybe 2018, where myself and maybe three or four others were grinding, maybe it was more than that, there was a few grinding a lot, like almost every weekend, and definitely got a lot better in that short period of time.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been around for a while then, I guess, that must be towards the start of the faction then. I'd have to check with Hoodie, but it's early-ish.
There would have been, I think it was within maybe like the first year of them or something like that. They were around beforehand, because I remember I used to hang out with them, and they were all in the faction, and they, you know, it was kind of like the No Leonards Club. No, that wasn't. They were never like that. There was definitely like a year, I think, before I joined, possibly longer. Yeah,
right. Fair enough. So, but you would have played in all of the like previous majors, so the Invitationals and Champs. I think this is Champs 4.
Yes. So I was abroad for a while. I was living in Europe, and I missed a bunch of them. So
right.
I played. I think they organized, because they knew I was leaving, they organized one of the major events. It might have been Champs just before I left for Europe. This mm-hmm. would have been at the end of 2018. And then I missed the invitation where everybody went and played golf.
Yes. I was at that one. The golf in the hail?
Yeah, that's the one. And like the bacon thief incident happened.
Yes. We'll have the bacon thief on later. He's got his own interview lined up. I'm sure we'll get that story out of him.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's true or not, no one will ever know.
Yeah, we'll also get the story from like Shane and Hoodie, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think you get some different perspectives. Yeah, so I've definitely played in a couple of them. So I missed a few, and I played in the last champs. I'm pretty sure I top eighted the last champs and then just bombed hard in the draft when I picked like this random ass, you know, five color nonsense draft deck.
Yeah, sure.
And then I think I top eighted Invitational as well. Did I? No, I didn't. I didn't top eight Invitational. That was definitely, I didn't do as well on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, bit of top eight experience. The drafts, yeah, it's interesting. The drafts can sometimes just go downhill very rapidly.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, draft is always, has always been my weaker part of my game. I think I'm a fairly strong constructed player. If I can get some reps under my belt with a deck and really start to understand the format, but yeah, I tend to eat a lot of shit on the draft table sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely, one of my memories of you is when we were running the set roulette tournaments that were like, we took a bunch of random sets and you had to build your own deck in like, I think it was like a week or two. I do remember watching your like many color control deck that we had for one of them, being like, wow, that's a really good deck. And Leo was playing that deck really well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy brewing and building some weird decks. So there's a couple of the faction guys that I can bounce ideas off, like Rob and Michael in particular are pretty good brewers as well, I guess. But yeah, I also really do like to when game's on and it's like a big competitive event coming up, I really do like leaning into the practice for a good constructed deck, picking a top tier list and trying to get as good as I can with it, you know.
Yeah, sure. So have you had much success then on WotC, so like GPs and RPGQs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I top-aided an RPGQ a few years ago with Shane and Nath on my team.
Yep.
And what was I playing there? Oh, yeah, I was playing, as Alex described, the greediest deck he's ever seen, which was like this Esper control deck that ran like way too many, you know, like pips from each individual color to be like, you know, it was definitely like a very greedy version of it, but I didn't lose a single match until that final round. So I was pretty happy with myself, you know.
That's pretty good then. Was this the like team constructed standard or something?
That was team constructed standard during the miserable Teferi control era.
Oh, yes.
And I was the one playing Teferi control, making everyone else's life miserable, you know. It was great.
What? How many colors was this control deck?
It was just Esper. I was playing Esper.
Oh, okay. Oh, this was like the Kaya's Wrath one, right? The like white, white, black, black.
Yeah, so there was like Kaya's Wrath. Yeah, and there was also, it was Kaya's Wrath, and I think there was also like there was some card that had like multiple blue in there as well. And I remember everyone just like telling me that it was really a dumb idea to play that many pips on individual cards, you know?
I want to say there was a cancel. There was like a cancel with Surveil 1 or something, and you were trying to curve.
It was disallow. It was disallow. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're trying to curve disallow into this like white, white, black, black sweeper.
Yeah, it was something like that, and it was just completely unreasonable to expect it to happen, but it happened way more often than you'd like it to, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just played more lands. That was my solution. I just played like 27 lands or something, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. That works. Yeah, those control decks were miserable, especially the just straight blue-white versions where there was no win con.
Yeah, you just have to sit there and just basically suffer. But, you know, like, I always play the greediest decks. Like, if there's something out there that is sort of like, you can play really powerful cards and not, you know, and get away with it. Like, for example, that one for the set roulette event where you watched me play that had what was I playing? Like, I think I was splashing green just for mana, like, just for, like, Wall of Roots.
It was like a Grixis control deck with green for, like, Wall of Roots.
Yeah, and I remember Kyle and yourself being like, that seems like a weird choice to do it. And then I also had Mana Morphos in it.
Yeah, I remember you using mana from Wall of Roots to make green mana, then casting Mana Morphos to filter it into colored mana for Cruel Ultimatum at one point.
Yeah, and I won that event, you know? So, suck on it, Nate.
Also, that deck had a bunch of the filter lands in it. They're like, you add a red or a black mana, it produces red-red or red-black or black-black.
Oh, that's right.
And I remember watching you just struggling with the Modo into Vase, trying to...
Oh, my... Yeah, I remember you sent me a message being like, you need to do it like this. I can't even remember how you do it, but I think you guys had watched me tap it and then untap it like four times in a row. Like, someone needs to put him out of his misery. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty unintuitive, especially on Modo, which I gather you don't play a ton of Modo, right?
I play none of it. Nath once paid for an event for me to play for, like, on his account, and I just bombed so hard on it. I just couldn't be bothered ever doing it again. But I really enjoy those. This probably isn't necessarily what you want to be talking about today, but I really enjoy those, like, random type events where you get a chance to sort of, you know, like, you don't get to do much practice for set roulette, do you? It's like you're kind of going into it blind. You've got this limited pool of cards you can build a deck from, and you know that there's some broken stuff that can be done in it, and your job is to try and break it. And you have to break it without testing it against someone else who's trying to break it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's kind of cool. And I think the set roulette event that we did last year was really fun. I really enjoyed that. And the other one of the random events that I really enjoyed would have been years ago at NLG Mooney Ponds with when Isaac was running the place. And he had this event that was, it was like no ban list modern.
Oh, yeah.
And that was great fun because nobody knew what the best decks were going to be. You had all these people rocking up trying to play Hypergenesis and stuff. You know, it was really fun.
Yeah. So I'm similar to you. I'm very into brewing. So set roulette, some of the most fun I can remember recently. And I didn't play in them, but Kyle and I did a fair bit of deck building for them.
Yeah.
Sort of when we were planning them. And I really enjoyed it. Also, I love the idea of trying to build sideboards in those decks.
Yeah. Because you're like, huh, there's a bunch of graveyard stuff that could happen, but I'm not sure that anyone has those in their deck. So maybe I put graveyard hate in. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
But you kind of run into this thing when you have to sort of go, well, if I played against a graveyard deck, I'd get wrecked. So I have to have some graveyard hate in the sideboard, you know? So you kind of have to, it's like a risk-based approach to building your sideboard, isn't it? You know?
It is a bit, yeah. So then, given you're a self-confessed brewer, but also enjoy, especially for, it sounds like, competitive events, sort of finding a sort of stock or like a tier list and really learning the ins and outs of it. Have you played much Highlander? Have you thought much about what you'll be doing or what your approach will be for champs?
Yeah, so I had a couple of weeks ago, I had a long sesh with Mike Swan, where we just tested out a bunch of different decks. And where I got to was the world that I feel like I'm drawn to is maybe in the Blue Moon space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I just watched Trent play a game just before, and his deck looked really good. And it was doing a bunch of fun stuff. And I think what that means is I need to just spend some time just making my own deck up. And I think maybe what I'll do for this event is just try and come up with some stuff and not tell anyone about it, and just sort of rock up to the event with something weird that, like, catches people off guard. That's what I reckon I'll end up doing.
Yeah. I can see there are two wolves inside you. I can play Blue Moon, which, like, did really well in. There was a Ringwood event recently. I know Trent and I both like talked about this Blue Moon deck, and we were just like, it was the best deck in the room and it crushed everyone. But on the other hand, you could build something sweet that no one will see coming.
Look, to be honest, I think the amount of practice I've done and the amount of practice I've seen the other people in the faction do for Highlander, and what I've seen other people doing for Draft as well, I wouldn't put myself as a good contender for actually winning the event. And I think maybe my best strategy here might be to just build something that I can just ruin other people's days with, you know? So if I can just drag other people down, particularly Nathan, that would be great.
Yeah, right. We'll make sure to get that pairing, you know?
Yeah, if you can pair me against Nathan, that would be fantastic.
Nathan will, like, have a winning in round 7 and he'll get paired down. Like, you'll be, like, 2 wins behind him or whatever and get paired.
I guess my, like, mono-black land destruction deck or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that, especially for these events, and if you don't have a chance to play that much Highlander. Like, I know both of the last 2 times, especially the Invitational I played, the first one, where I didn't play any Highlander at all, but I knew my favorite card was Birthing Pod, and I was basically just like, I'm going to play a Birthing Pod deck.
Yeah, and you can have a lot of fun with it. And the cool thing about Highlander, I guess, is that you might be onto something with it. Like, you just don't know, because there aren't enough people playing it, and I guess maybe there's not enough diversity of minds in the format right now for there to be, and what I mean by that is it seems like the community is reasonably small and the same people seem to do well quite regularly. and so they're likely to be drawn to the same types of decks. Whereas if you get some Patrick Chapins in there or something like that, that come up with some, you know, left field decks that, that can kind of catch people off guard, there's no reason you can't win with a weird deck, you know?
For sure. I definitely think it's one of the big appeals of the format is that it isn't solved. Even if, like, you say, like, you know, the same people win with the same decks, I don't even know if that means it's sold or just, like, those players are really good because it is a small sample.
That's exactly what I mean. You put that well, yeah. So those people are very good with their decks, and perhaps the rest of the people just aren't as good with their decks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know like, Mulch is crazy good with goblins, right? But, like, just because he's good with goblins doesn't mean goblins is, like, the best red aggro deck, you know?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. It has that allure. The format has that allure of maybe I will find the deck, you know?
Yeah, you're like the search for the Holy Grail, except like the Holy Grail is like a grim monolith or something. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other side, we also have to play Crimson Vow Draft. You said you're not a huge limited person.
I hate it. However, I did play a couple drafts the other day. I paid for one entry on Arena, and I got a good 5 or 6 drafts out of it. So I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, look, I felt like I did okay, and I took some weird decisions with it. I'm finding that black and white need to be in your deck.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that. Like, I think the removal is only relevant. Like you don't want to lose to a Toxrill, right? Like
yes.
That happens like every third game I play.
There are a lot of cards like that, yes, that you just have to have removal for or you probably lose.
Yeah, and so I find that the decks, when I get suckered into building like a red-green deck, if I don't win quickly, which quite regularly doesn't actually end up happening because someone else has drafted black, white and wins, or they can remove all my creatures, then I get to a point where my 4-5 damage burn spells or, you know, the fighting spells in green or something aren't good enough to deal with a big creature.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So for that reason, I'm not liking red and green as much as I am black and white. And to be honest, blue, I haven't spent a lot of time in blue with this set. So I'm usually, you know, black X or white X mm-hmm. at the moment. Yeah. Boros has been doing well for me.
Yeah, I think that lines up with most people's view of the format. So it sounds like you have actually done some drafting. You have some idea of what you're doing. You're not going to be sitting down and reading every card.
No, I'm not going in blind. I've definitely played some. Look, just because I hate something doesn't mean I don't do it. You know, I've got nothing else to do. I've been stuck in lockdown playing Crimson Vow, you know?
True. So you said you don't think you'll win, probably.
Yeah, well, look, I wouldn't be betting on myself. I'll put up a good fight. I'm going to try, but I wouldn't bet on me if I was anyone.
That's fair. Like, I think, I don't know, I think it's really hard to pick anyone really to bet on. It's like, yeah.
Oh, but we all know Rob's going to win again. Like, that guy, like, I don't know, you get a couple beers in him and you can't beat him. Like, he's just, that photo of you and him at the last one was just the perfect picture of a guy that's trying to win versus a guy that is going to win.
100%. I feel like Rob gets more powerful throughout the day because, so Champs, unlike Invitationals, Champs has played all on one day. So we'll play 7 rounds of Swiss and then a top 8 draft all in one day from about like 9 or 10. I think it's like 10 a.m. So the finals don't finish till like 8 or something, 7, 8, depending on how quickly we go.
I think last year it was even later. It was like closer to midnight even, you know? Was
it? It felt long.
It was real long, yeah.
Anyway, so yes, people will start drinking sometime in the afternoon. We'll say afternoon to be generous. And I agree with you. I think Rob gets more powerful the more he drinks. So by the time we got to the finals, he was just unstoppable.
Yeah, so I think, look, if he has a good early day before he gets some beers in him, that's when he'll be a strong contender.
If he gets through the sober section.
Yeah, but so I think just because of the nature of the event, I think Rob probably would be my top pick.
Mm-hmm.
Also just because I know that Kyle hasn't been working super hard on Magic recently.
Mm.
You know, like, because Kyle would be the easy choice, but he's also had other things in his life, I guess, hasn't he? So You know, he may do quite well, but you can't beat a drunk Dutchman, I don't think.
It's true. I will say on Kyle, I'm not sure what exactly else has been in his life. I know he graduated a couple months ago and doesn't start his full-time job for another couple of weeks yet, but hasn't played a ton of Magic, I don't think.
I'm pretty sure he just sits in his basement pouring chemicals into beakers. Yeah.
Okay, so that's answered two of my questions, which are, who is your favourite? Sounds like Rob is the one you'd be betting on.
Yeah.
And one of our questions was, will Kyle win? And it sounds like the answer is no.
No, I don't think Kyle will win. And I think, I've seen Kyle a little bit drunk recently, and maybe if he drinks a couple of beers, he could win as well. It could be an interesting final, a drunk Kyle versus a drunk Rob. I'd like to see that. In fact, I reckon if both of them don't make top eight, we should make that happen.
Just have them play, like, drunk. Do a draft or something drunk and like.
Yeah, we should like film that. That'd be good quality content.
That would be quite amusing. I'm now picturing like it completely detracting from the main event or whatever.
Yeah, it's like when Federer and Nadal play in the semis, you know?
Yeah, or not even. It'd be like the final of the Australian Open is going on and Federer and Nadal are playing like an exhibition match out on court 9, and instead there's a giant crowd around court 9 and just no one on Rod Laver.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we have to do it in a separate time schedule. But you know, that'd be good to watch. So hopefully that's answered your question there. Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to see that. And I suppose last question then is, do you have a dark horse contender who you think might be flying under the radar a bit but is a bit of a roughie?
I actually think Michael Swan would do well if he got some reps in with the draft.
Yeah.
He's always struggled with draft, but his Highlander game's pretty strong. I don't know. Like, I think the sensible choices are all there. Like, like yourself, Trent, Kyle, there's a bunch of, like, quite an Alex and stuff. There's some strong contenders, but I think, like, Michael might get lucky. He might get a Toxrill in his draft deck and win.
Mm.
And if he can get through those draft rounds, he's just going to decimate in the Highlander. Is Highlander first or second?
Highlander's second, so it's 3 rounds of draft, 4 rounds of Highlander, and then the top 8 will be a draft.
Okay, so if the top 8's a draft, Michael won't win. That's rough. That's rough for him. He won't have any hard feelings in me saying that, I don't think. But who would it be then? I reckon. I mean, whose draft game's pretty good? I think maybe. Oh, I'd love to see a Tim Sandgren victory.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to see that.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I think a Tim Sandgren victory would make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Tim's, to me at least, is a little bit mysterious. He's not quite as, like, maybe not quite as active as some of the others on the chat. So I actually don't know. And I feel like maybe he'll turn up and be like, oh yeah, no, I've done 60 drafts.
Yeah, and look, Tim's a smart dude.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
You know, the way we were playing a game of Michael's Jank Cube with him once, and he totally, like, we thought he didn't know what he was doing, but he knew exactly what he was doing the whole time. You know, he was playing the game. So my dark horse vote's Tim Sandgren.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming on, Leo. Good to chat to you. Good to sort of chat a bit about your history, and we look forward to seeing you at Champs.
See you then. Thanks for having me on.
Bye, Kyle. Bye.